Blog Talk Radio.
This is your host, C. Major Porter, and thank you so much for joining us today. It's Saturday, and it's 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and we are with you live right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're talking about create piano lessons, self-teaching piano pedagogy today. So I have a number of things that I would like to share with you today, and we made it. We finally found a stopping place so that we can see how to create piano lessons for yourself. You may be interested in pieces and techniques that you can share with friends and family. There are some things that you can do before you start playing the piano too. We'll talk about that at another time. It's important to know how to sit at the piano, for instance. So get ready for our first online piano lesson on this podcast. It'll be fun. It will be simple. We'll spend 1 hour talking about the makeup of the keyboard, 88 key piano, white and black key relationship, finger numbers, and how to apply those time values that we've talked about in previous episodes. And don't forget about coloring. Sometimes it helps to outline or enhance what you are seeing. So thank you so much for being here. We're glad to see you, and thank you for listening. So I would like to preface my script by saying that if you tuned into C Major before the show early this morning, you know what we're trying to do over there, and that is to provide a proper prep for this show. So originally we had intended that the C Major Before the Show podcast would prepare you for the things that we're talking about over here, but we spent so much time preparing you to get to this point. And you're probably asking too, in the description of the C Major Radio Show, it does say piano lessons on every episode. So in a way you may be thinking, well, haven't you done piano lessons? Not in the way that we're going to do it this evening. So what I want to do now is remind you of the script that I shared with you back in August. And it was to let you know that we were getting ready to write down music clearly. We talked about time values. If you have a chance, go ahead and revisit that episode that was on August 15th of this year. And I started off by saying, hello, everybody. I'm C Major Porter. Welcome to this 55th episode of the C Major Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. In today's show, we're talking about getting ready to write down music clearly, time values. Welcome to our first two-hour music theory class. This music theory class is not for babies. It's not a baby class. It's for adults already enrolled in or thinking about enrolling in a music class. It's for parents of children who are enrolled in piano lessons. You're frustrated that you don't know how to help your children with their music homework, and you wish to know more about how music works. It's for teachers who are on a mission to personally develop your students into successful note readers. This broadcast is very different from what we do over at C Major Before the Show on Spreaker. If you've been following us over there, thank you, and just know that it is about to get real serious over here. So that was a tone that I set. And so we have been trying to get to a point where we can work a little bit more hand-in-hand with C Major Before the Show and the C Major Radio Show, and I think we've arrived at that point. So I did want to say one more thing, and that was from the script that I used over C Major before the show when I talked about playing by chords and by color. And I have some students that really subscribe to that idea of using color to help them see what's on the page, and then some students that are just totally distracted by it. So really use your own discretion. You may find it helpful to use color and you may not. But over there, what we said was, and it was around the same time, we said adult students, older beginner, and later beginner students. Are you here on C Major Before the Show? Thank you for being with me today. I'm excited about today's show. Blues and alternative rock are featured in today's episode in this multi-part series of Playing by Chords and by Color. We are presenting part 3 today. So if you have a chance, revisit that. We call that series The Keyboard Situation, Playing by Chords and by Color, Part 3. And you can see how different it was over there. And then I gave you a list of things that we talked about on that particular episode. So I just wanted to remind you of how far we've come since August. And now what I'm going to do, for the first time, I'm going to share with you some methods for a first piano lesson. So it's basically going through comparative literature, comparative methods, and to let you know what you're in for, because what I'm finding out is that there are a lot of self-teaching pianists out there, myself included, because now I'm at a point where I've received all of my training, and now I want to teach myself some other things that I felt like I can teach on my own. If I just really pay attention and work at it, that I can get it on my own. The question still remains, at what point do you feel that you need an instructor? I had this conversation with someone today. This person is over a lessons program, and that manager was just saying that students need a teacher when they really feel like grow, and they need the help of a music professional. And so I think that's the overall consensus, because I had a student that said that same thing to me earlier this week, that she felt that for a whole year she could go online, learn as much as she could, and then she felt in order to grow or to go further with her study that she really needed the help of someone who could guide her a little bit more and really learn some of these terms and what they mean, and have someone to answer questions just sitting with her as she tried to learn pieces and as she tried to learn more about music and to learn music terms. So you really get to decide at what point you think you need that type of help, and I encourage that. I encourage that. Another issue that this manager raised was that sometimes in some of the schools, quote-unquote schools that are out there, that a lot of the students are just learning songs, but they're not learning method at all. And so when they get to a teacher that can really show them about fingering, show them about hand placement, that the students are lost because they don't have that foundation of method. But you can be the judge of that. There are many different approaches, and so what we're going to do now is take a look at something called an easy piano course. So if you Google search that, you may find a course that's called that, an easy piano course or something similar. And I'm going to protect the publisher. I'm going to protect as much as I can. But just to give you an idea what you're facing. So let's pretend this is your very first piano lesson. You're aiming to learn how to read music, and you've had all of this discussion about music theory, because that's what we've been doing since the summer. But now you're really, really ready to focus on the keyboard. So the first thing you want to notice, and this book does that, is to notice the white keys and notice the black keys. So you really want to take a note of the white keys, how many there are, the black keys, how many there are, and their setup. And what this keyboard book does, would start you right away with naming the white keys. So go ahead and make a note to learn the names of the white keys first. So that means you are learning the musical alphabet. And here's where it gets a little bit tricky. Now, I do ask some of my students to do this, and some of them like it, some of them don't. But I think it's really important to say things out loud, and this book agrees, this method agrees. It says recite. It's really asking you to go ahead and say the letters of the musical alphabet out loud several times. Now, some methods will have you say it forward, and some methods will have you say it backwards. So, again, now we're noticing black and white key relationship. The black keys are grouped in twos and threes. So go ahead and touch all of the groups of two black keys if you can. And I had a student this week that was so excited that she could find C. And C is found to the left of those two black keys. So you can just count 1, 2, and C is there. And that's how you find C on your piano. So this is the first lesson in this book. So after you've done that, then go ahead and find all of the C's. But use, if you can, use a keyboard chart or a poster or something where you have a diagram of a keyboard and then you just write the letter C on all of the C's. And then on your keyboard, on your piano, go ahead and play all of the C's you can find. And in this book, they really want you to use your thumb. So you haven't even gone through finger numbers yet with this book, but it's telling you which fingers to use to find those keys. Why are you using the thumb? I don't know. Maybe the thumb is considered a very strong guide for finding notes. You would have to ask the publisher why they chose to have students use their thumb to locate C. So, after you've done that, then you have a picture of part of your keyboard. And then you would just start with C. Also, this chart helps you to locate middle C. And then you would just mark all of the keys having the same name using your black keys to help you find that. Okay, now I'm going to skip to a different method because this book goes ahead and not only teaches you middle C, it shows you how to write music down in the very first lesson, if you can imagine that. So in the very first lesson, you're already dealing with the staff. It's explaining that to you. So let me just leave that here, and let me jump to a different method. Now, we are supposed to be spending an hour with you today, and I'm not sure how far I will get, but let's just go as far as we can. And who knows, we may stop before the hour is complete, or we may go right up to the hour. Now, this is another method, so I love doing the comparative methods. So if you are a self-teaching pianist, then you may want to find a course that gives you everything all in one book. So I would say look for that. Look for a complete piano course. Look for one that says all-in-one. There are many of those out there. There's not just one all-in-one piano course. And you can also just Google search self-teaching piano course because there are publications that are labeled that way too. Okay, now. Turning to the first page. Now, this is very different. So when I said in today's description that there are other things that you can do before you start playing the piano, and I mentioned it's important to know how to sit at the piano, for instance, there's another method out there. I'm not going to use that one today, but it does talk to you that spends a long time talking to you about how to sit at the piano before you even strike a note. So it really wants you to be positioned properly. And this book does a little bit of that too. So we won't discuss it today. I'll save that for another time because prepping to play, I've covered it in a previous episode, but I really want to cover it completely. But it does give you an outline, sitting at the piano, distance from the piano, hand position. So just as a light bulb that goes on in your mind, think about those online courses that train you to play all in one day. Are they also talking with you about how to sit at the piano, and how much time are they talking with you about that? Are they talking about distance from the piano? Are they talking with you about hand positioning? You know, think about that because you might need some help. That at that point, you can decide, I need someone to really help me with that because I don't want to have any discomfort when I'm playing. Some little things like that. This book goes right into finger numbers. So rather than just say, use the thumb to play these keys, they don't even go into that until they know that you know how to number your fingers in the first place. So you're going to call your thumb your first finger. A lot of people get that confused. So I love that they've color-coded the hands so you can see one hand in one color, another hand in another color. And then they just ask you to hold up your hands in the air and just start wiggling. So a number of methods will do that. They'll do the wiggle game. Adults can do this. My adult students, they love this. So wiggling your thumbs, wiggling your second fingers, third fingers, fourth fingers, fifth fingers. In some cases, the books will call the second finger the pointer finger and so forth. So you're playing that finger game. Okay, let me see here. Here we go. Okay, now, because they have a picture of printed hands, and you can do this to say if you did not have printed hands already in your method, you can go ahead and trace your hands. You can do that. You can draw an outline of your hands on a piece of paper and just go ahead and number each finger and then place your hands over what you drew. So this method does not start you off with letters. So you have to, again, you have to decide what you're comfortable with, what you would like to start out with, because I have parents that think their way of learning has to be the way that their children are learning, or adult students that recall a very old method compared to methods that we have here that are current in the 21st century that teach and show you how to get started a different way. So I think research is always being updated so that you're learning the best way for the time that you're in. So rather than letters, this method starts you off with rhythm and music. So go ahead and just make a note that music is made up of short and long sounds. The combination of these sounds is called rhythm. Notes are divided by bar lines into measures. When reading music, count aloud using one of the ways suggested below or any counting method your teacher prefers. So this really puts the power in the hands of the teacher to show you about time values. So just think about that. Do you want to learn by talking about letter names and music alphabet first, or would you prefer to start with rhythm? And this is what this method does. It starts you off with a quarter. It gives you three ways to count a quarter note, and then a half note. It gives you three ways to count a half note, and then gives you a picture of what each one looks like. Also explains the parts of a note, showing you how to identify a note head and then how to identify a stem, and then it gives you a rhythm. So if you like that, then that can be your first piano lesson. Learning to clap rhythms, learn to identify rhythms, time values, learning to clap those, writing those out, learning the language about bar lines, what a double bar line is versus a bar line, and so forth, and then trying to play your first song. Now, this book does also give you the thumb to use to start playing, but you're using the thumb as support to your second finger and not just using your thumb to play any key. So for some reason, and again, these are questions you can ask a music educator, someone who really knows piano pedagogy well and what that entails and why you're being asked to do this first in a first lesson. Okay, let's put that aside. Now I'm going to go to a third book. So believe it or not, I have a third book ready. And this is also an all-in-one course. Different publisher. So this is our third publisher so far. But imagine, again, you go to a music store, you visit a music retail setting, you talk with the salesperson, hey, what's the best book to get to study the piano? And you don't know what you're going to get, especially if you're talking with a salesperson who's just there to make a sale and they may not be that familiar with the different methods that are out there. So I would just say if you're shopping around for the method that will teach you to play the piano, especially for your first lesson, check the publisher, do your research, find out what the history of that publisher is, and try to talk with someone who's familiar who can give you more. Now, opening up this third method and just looking at what they will have you do in the first lesson. So a little similar to the book that we just looked at, the method book that talked about how to number your fingers. So that's what you'll learn in the first lesson. So they don't even talk about rhythm at all. They're just talking about finger numbers. This is how you number your fingers with playing the piano. There's no activity for that. They're just showing you a picture, and the picture is realistic. It shows you two hands, the left hand and the right hand, and the fingers are numbered on the tips. Sometimes when my students draw, especially my younger students, when they draw or trace their hands, they'll put the numbers on the fingernails, where the fingernails belong. And then on the second page, it just goes, here you go. Here are two black keys. It doesn't talk about the makeup of the keyboard at all. It just starts right away with black keys and says, here are two black keys. Find them on the piano. See how many groups of the two black keys you can find. Play them one at a time and sing one, two. And they give you freedom. Use any fingers you wish. So some of my students really love that, the ones that really just want to make up their own rules. They will love that because then they're not just saying use a thumb behind your second finger. They're just saying use any finger you want to and just find the black keys. Notice how many groups there are. Play the black keys one at a time and just sing. So it really seems that it's important to either sing or talk as you are first learning the piano. And some of my students, again, they just really would prefer to be silent and not say anything, but the talking really works. It really does work. Now, this method is similar to the first method that we looked at because it does say find middle C on the keyboard. So now that you've found the black keys and you've sung 1, 2 for each group of black keys, then go ahead and find the white note to the left of the two black keys in the middle of the keyboard. So 1, 2, middle C is there. This white note is named middle C. And there's a very cute illustration here. But it says, again, it gives you the freedom. Play with either hand. Oh, but now we're getting specific. Play with either hand, but use your first finger, meaning your thumb, as you play middle C, and then sing C as you play it. So they really want to reinforce the singing. They want you to right away start to see if you can match your voice with the key that you are playing. So I had a student that said to me the other day, oh, this is not a singing class. Why do I have to sing? It's up to you. You could just say it. I think you have that option. And then, just like the first book we looked at, this does go into the staff. But before the staff, this talks to you about clef signs. So if that's important to you, if it's important to you, because sometimes students, especially adult students, they will think you're just stringing them along, you're wasting their time talking about all these preparatory things. They'd rather just launch into saying letter names and then starting with clef signs and not really spending time talking about sitting at the keyboard and all of that, and they will try to skip you ahead. So this goes into treble clef, bass clef, and then it talks about finding middle C, and then it gives you a picture of the grand staff. So let's go back to our first book, and let's see what it's showing us. Same thing. It talks about middle C on the music. So they really want you to understand the clef signs. And I think you will see this if you go online. If you start playing the piano right away, the first day, playing songs, playing instantly, then all of these signs will be put together, and then you'll be able to impress your friends and family that you know how to play the piano and you understand all of these terms. But you also have the option to say no, it's too much too soon, or to break it down further for yourself. So let's go back to our middle book. So imagine here in the first lesson, you've learned to play using your finger two and your thumb behind finger two. Okay, so what you're going to do is you're going to play any black key you want. So this gives you the freedom too with your second finger. But again, make sure your thumb is supporting that, the first joint of your second finger. So go ahead and do that. So you'll notice I'm not playing anything on my piano. I really want to give you a chance to just do this on your own. And feel free to give us some feedback. Now, before I forget, I do want to mention that I'm going to be over at C Major's Classroom a little bit later on. So cmajorsclassroom.wordpress.com, cmajorsclassroom.wordpress.com. That's our blog site for the podcast that we do. And I'm going to be posting some homework over there. Now, this show does not offer any homework assignments, but I do like to mention them just in case you listen to C Major before the show, which is where I give out homework assignments. So if you listen to the show earlier, you know that we took a walk through New York City and we were talking about some of the ways that you may experience music making that will drive you to really want to know more about what it takes to play those songs. So either you're more song-driven or you are piano lessons-driven, and you can decide which approach you like to take. So imagine you've played your first note on the piano, but on the black keys. You've played a low black key, and then try to use some rhythm with that. So we've talked about time values on this show. So see if you can. I'm just getting myself out of this screen here. Okay, here we go. Okay, so see if you can play something using the rhythms that we talked about. We've talked about quarter notes, we've talked about half notes, and see if you can do that on your own. So you get to decide. And this is where it's going to get really creative for me. So I once had a friend that told me, don't write a book, just do method. And I think I know what she meant about that. You know, you have to be very careful of just writing a book just for the sake of saying, I wrote a book, when really maybe what you can do is just have a method of sharing information that really helps students to find their way with what you're trying to show them. So even though I like that this song is an introduction to playing the piano, I think I could come up with my own song to help students learn as well. So I'm going to keep that in mind. It's really about combining quarter notes and half notes and putting some words with those, showing them how to separate their time values with bar lines, and also talking about which hand plays which notes with the stem going either down or up. So just imagine you've played a song using your own combination of quarter notes and half notes, and that's your first lesson. Okay, so let me step away from that. We have definitely passed the 30-minute mark, so before time gets away, I want to go over to an article that I shared with you early on, because I know that you still have some questions about the whole approach to self-teaching. And if you have any questions, feel free to visit with us also, on Twitter. You can find me and you can follow me at CMajorPorter1 on Twitter. Right now we're just doing a series of tweets and mostly retweets until we decide to do something different. But there was an episode very early on, and I don't think I did it correctly, because I felt like I was really trying to find my voice with this podcast, and it's been a work in progress, but I did want to talk with you about the whole idea of, if you're coming into music making because you're looking for certain benefits of making music, I think what I'll do, I'll revisit this article in the future, because it does speak very specifically about what those benefits are. But I just want you to keep an open mind. You can decide for yourself what the benefits are. But there was a very important part of this article where it talks about, maybe on the first page, it talks about active music making, and I wanted to read from that quote. And 1 second, my computer just went to sleep. I need to change the sleep function on that. So it says here, and this may be, here it is, when you make your own music, you can play songs that are happy and songs that are sad. You can play songs that shift your mood. Making your own music can be very personal, or it can include others. So I really like that quote in the article. Making your own music allows you to do it your way. You can play the songs you like at a slow pace or a fast pace or whatever you wish. Music provides you, if you wish to be with others, music provides ways, if you wish to be with others, to help drop social barriers. It crosses generations. You can go on and on about the benefits and the differences between active and passive involvement in music. And that is so true. So we will revisit this article in the future. I felt like I can do a more complete job of talking about some of the issues that the article raises. But just think about that. You are creating piano lessons for yourself. If you just joined us, we're here on the C Major Radio Show. We're talking about creating piano lessons. We're talking about self-teaching, piano pedagogy, and I've given you three examples of how a first lesson in piano may start out. And if you have any questions about that, just let us know. Talk to your music professional. I'm not referring today to my adult learning book that I love so much, because I really like some of the things that they're saying in that book to prepare adults for getting started in music making and taking piano lessons. But we finally found a stopping place that we can see how to create piano lessons for you, for yourself. So you may decide that you're interested in pieces and techniques that you can share with friends and family. And that's important. I know that's important to my students, because I have some students that will say to me, I really want to impress my uncle. I really want to impress my best friend. Or, you know what, I really want to take a picture of myself. And this happens with younger students. I really want to take a picture of myself and post it on social media and then have it go away in 24 hours so my friends can think that I'm playing the piano well when I've just asked my teacher to show me something really cool on the piano. I did it, I captured it, and now they're going to be impressed. Whatever your reason is for learning to play the piano, that's personal. But just know there is a difference between active and passive music making, and you can decide. You may decide that you just want to get a keyboard and just start pressing some buttons and let the keyboard make music for you. But we're talking about here hands-on piano lessons. So hopefully you like what we're talking about so far. We're talking about how to actively make music, how to find the keys on the keyboard. And so just to recap quickly, here in our first piano lesson, we talked about the music alphabet for one method. We talked about black and white key relationship. And then we jumped to another book where we're talking about the finger numbers. And you can color code your hands if you want to, if that helps you. We went to another book that talks about finger numbers up front, and then shows you how to play the piano by finding the two black keys first. So what I like about the middle book is that they're not dealing with white keys at all. So you're just invited to find some black keys to play and to use a very specific finger to do it. And then you're also getting right away into rhythm. So that middle book is more in line with 21st century piano instruction, where music educators have decided it's better to start with black keys and then go into white keys. So very different from the other two books that we talked about. So thank you so much for joining us. We have about 20 minutes that we could spend more with you. But I think what I'm going to do is reserve those 20 minutes for our next broadcast. So we spent about 40 minutes with you today, and hopefully you learned something. It was a very short lesson, I know, but I don't want to overwhelm you in the first lesson. But just know, on the next episode, we will continue piano lessons. So you will be listening for the second piano lesson. And just to give you a heads up of what we'll be talking about, we will continue with these three books that I'm looking in, and we will go forward with another song from the second book, and then a first song from each of the first and third books that I mentioned. I think you'll be surprised. I think you'll be surprised. And then we will also talk about, over at C Major before the show, some of the information that's presented. So just know that you're going to get some refresher over at C Major before the show, because we really want to prep you for this show. So let me go ahead and revisit what I said about writing down music clearly, because some of that's going to be coming up as well as we delve into our piano lessons online on online radio. And we do intend to entertain you with stories as they come up, and to continue the humor, good humor, of course. And then just talking about music literacy, it's fun for me. I love what I do. I also like sharing the idea of using colors and giving you some ideas of that, how to put some pops of color into your music. So I think the second Piano Methods book agrees with that as well. So thank you so much for joining us. It's been a great pleasure to be with you this evening. Thank you for your first online piano lesson listening on this podcast. I hope you had some fun. I wanted to keep it simple. And so we spent a little bit less than an hour today talking about these issues that are going to come up as you're learning to play the piano. I also want to encourage you, if you can, get a hold of an 88-key piano. And before I forget, I do want to give you kind of a preview of something we're going to talk about, because it came up with one of my students this week, and it has happened with several students over the years that have grand pianos. They are not quite sure how to handle the grand piano. Let me say it that way. So before I say anything further on that, just know that's going to be coming up, and I'm going to get some information for you that I think will be very helpful, because sometimes people are a little embarrassed to know or to say that they don't really know how to handle their grand pianos in their homes. This is C Major Porter. You've been listening to the C Major Radio Show. And join us next time right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'll see you next week. Take care.